We're turning again to the book of Exodus, this time to the chapter 20 again. Exodus chapter 20. I want to read a few verses here again. We're coming to the fourth commandment once more. Exodus chapter 20, and it is the verses 8 to 11 that contain the fourth commandment. So we're going to read these verses just to refresh them and have them in our minds as we come to God's truth today. Exodus 20 verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. Let's just ask for God's help now as we come to consider His truth today. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that we are here found once again before the word of the living God. And even as we've been singing in the words of this hymn, we make it our prayer. Shine upon Thy pure, eternal word today and cause the mysteries to be revealed to our soul. Pray, O God, You'll shine by Your Spirit into our hearts as well. And we pray, O God, Thou wouldst illuminate the sacred page. Lord, we're coming to Thee because Thou art the God of all truth. Without Thee, we are in darkness. Without Thee, we are blinded. Without Thee, we are ignorant. Without Thee, we are but fools. But we pray, O God, Thou wouldst teach us wondrous things out of Thy law. And Thou wouldst lead us into the paths of righteousness for Your own name's sake. Give help in the preaching of Thy word. We come again to Thee, confessing and acknowledging our need of Thy help. As we pray, O God, for the anointing of Thy Spirit, come upon us this day, not only upon the preacher, but the hearer alike. And as Your word is preached, may Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This afternoon, as we return to the commandment, which deals with the Lord's Day, the fourth commandment, I want us to consider the duty of the Sabbath day. The duty of the Sabbath day. Now, we noted previously that the fourth commandment should always be considered in two ways. The fourth commandment brings us to consider, firstly, the joy of the Sabbath, and then it also brings us to consider the duty of the Sabbath. This is basically how we ought to approach the Sabbath day, thinking about its joy, and then also considering its duty. Now, last time, we thought upon the joy of the Sabbath, and we considered why we should obey this commandment with a joyful and with a willing heart. Why we should obey this commandment with great delight and with all of our souls. Of course, this is not how people look upon the observance of the Sabbath. They do not view it as a joyful and delightful thing. They do not see it as something to enter into with great joy. Instead, they consider it restrictive. They think of the Sabbath day as a hindrance and basically something which gets in the way of them doing what they want. And this is how many look upon the Sabbath day. It's a day of not being able to do the things that I would like to do. Sadly, this is how the vast majority of people react when they are confronted with the truth of the fourth commandment. They think of it as restrictive, as a hindrance to enjoyment and to pleasure. Yet as God's people, we should ever look upon the Sabbath day as a joyful and a delightful thing. We should ever consider it a great gift which God has given to men for their happiness and ultimately for their blessing and welfare. And one occasion, as the Lord Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for their legalistic approach to the Sabbath day, He said to them in Mark 2:27, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Christ made these men aware the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, was made for man. And the thought is, it was made by God for man's good. It was made by God for man's blessing and happiness. God in grace has created this day, the Sabbath day, for man's welfare. Therefore, it is a great gift, a gracious gift from a loving and kind and good God. Indeed, we can say the Lord's day in many, many ways is good for man. It is good for man. It is good for man's physical well-being. Because on the Sabbath day, there is a break from the ordinary toils and labors of life. And that is good for man in a physical sense. Even those who are involved in medicine and science would acknowledge a day of rest in seven is good for man. It is good for man's physical and mental well-being. And therefore, as God gave to us the Sabbath, he was thinking about man's physical well-being. The Sabbath day is also good for man's spiritual well-being. Because when we keep the Sabbath day holy, then we spend it in the worship of our God. When we obey this commandment, and when we keep the Sabbath day holy, we spend it in the worship of our God, and that is good. Very good for man's spiritual well-being. In fact, there is nothing that is better for man's spiritual well-being than worshiping the God of heaven, than attending the means of grace. This is all important. And you see, God has given us this day not only for our physical well-being, but also our spiritual well-being. We can add to this. The Sabbath day is good for man's eternal well-being. Because on the Lord's Day, temporal matters are put to the one side. And eternal matters are brought into focus. This is the day of the week in which eternal matters, the matters of the soul, the matters of eternity, are focused upon. And the matters of this world, the temporal matters, really, we are to forget about those things. We are to set those things aside. This is the very nature and character of the Sabbath day. We set aside temporal things and we attend unto spiritual and eternal things. And this is very good for man's eternal well-being, man's eternal happiness. How good and loving then is God as he has blessed man by giving to him the Sabbath day. Therefore, we ought to keep the fourth commandment with great joy. We ought to obey it with great delight. For it is a commandment that has our good and blessing very much in view. However, this afternoon, as we come again to look at the fourth commandment, we're coming to consider the duty of the Sabbath. This is what I want us to think upon today. What is actually involved in keeping the Lord's Day holy? Now, we're getting really into the heart of it here. We're coming to the very heart of the issue. As we come to consider this, it is imperative that we stick to Scripture and to what God has revealed in His Word. And the reason why I emphasize the need to be guided by God's Word in regard to the fourth commandment is because this commandment, perhaps more than other commandments, has been often twisted and distorted by the thinking and opinions of men. This commandment, the commandment in relation to the Sabbath day, the fourth commandment, is perhaps the commandment that above all other commandments has been distorted and twisted and ignored and turned around by men and by their foolishness and by their thoughts. This was something that Christ even had to deal with as he ministered on earth. On a number of occasions, the Jews accused the Savior of breaking the Sabbath day by performing miracles. And they came to him and they said, listen, you're breaking the Sabbath day. And the reason why they accused the Savior of this was because they had left the truth of Scripture. And they were now following their own ideas and their own traditions and their own teaching. And because of this, they falsely accused the Savior. And this is still what people do today. There are some Christians today who teach that there's no need. There's no need to keep the Sabbath day holy. This commandment is no longer for us. It was only for Old Testament saints. It was only for Israel there back in the Old Testament. It has nothing to do with us today. And there's people who teach this. And very forcefully teach this. And very forcefully claim this. Simple truth is this. To avoid erroneous views in regard to keeping the Sabbath day holy, we must set aside the traditions and the teachings of men and simply focus upon the truth of God's word. This is what we must do in a very particular sense in regard to the fourth commandment. Of course, this applies to every area of life. But the reason why I emphasize it in regard to this commandment is because there's been a great problem here, you see. People have their own ideas and their own theories. I even remember as a young person being in a meeting and there was a discussion. It was a question and answer meeting. And the question was asked about the Sabbath day. And you know, one of the responses was, well, keeping the Sabbath day really means you just follow on in the traditions of your parents. Whatever way you were brought up, do the same with your own children. And that is utter nonsense. It's foolishness. Oh, we must be guided by Scripture and God's Word. If we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, then our guide as with all truth, must be the scriptures of truth. Now, coming then to consider the duty of the Sabbath, I want us to do so under three headings. First of all, I want us to look at the preparation for the Sabbath, then the prohibitions of the Sabbath, and then finally to consider the participation in the Sabbath. Now, today I just want us to consider the first two of these three headings, the preparation for the Sabbath and the prohibitions for the Sabbath. And then, God willing, next time we will come to consider the participation in the Sabbath. Firstly then, today we're thinking about the preparation for the Sabbath. This is something which is clearly brought before us in the words of verse 9 here, as we have the fourth commandment. Notice what it says in the words of verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Notice here immediately after the commandment in verse 8, or the command in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is the command, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We have this instruction then in verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Now, there's very much the thought and idea here of preparation and of getting ready for the Sabbath. The Lord in these words is telling men, the work which needs to be done, the work which you're involved in life, it must all be done in the 6 other days. And it must not spill over into the Sabbath day. You must make preparation so that you will not have to work on the Lord's day. You must organize your life. And this is what God was telling Israel here. You must organize your life so that the Sabbath will be a day of worship and not a day of work. And so God in the fourth commandment very much implies there needs to be preparation. There needs to be preparation for the Sabbath day. There needs to be a planning for it. There needs to be an organizing, a setting things in order, we could say, as the Sabbath day comes about. Yet even before God gave to Israel the Ten Commandments, he had already taught them the need there was to make preparation for the Sabbath. We read earlier in Exodus 16, and how God in a miraculous way fed the people of Israel in the wilderness with manna. And that's what God did. In the wilderness there was no food for Israel. Over 2 million people there living in a place where they had no food. How could they survive? Well, God provided for them manna from heaven. He gave to them angels' food. But as God provided food for Israel in the supernatural way in the wilderness, he gave to them certain regulations regarding the manna. And one of the regulations concerned the Sabbath day. In fact, turn back in your Bibles a couple of pages to Exodus 16 again. Notice what it says here in between verses 22 and 26. Remember, this is all in relation to the manna and how they were to work in regard to the Sabbath day and the manna. Verse 22, Exodus 16. And it came to pass that on the 6th day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. They laid it up till the morning as Moses bid, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the 7th day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. As God instructed Israel here, and how they were to gather the manna in preparation for the Sabbath day, we learn they were to prepare for the Sabbath in 2 ways. There was really 2 things they were to do here as they prepared for the Sabbath. There was firstly the need for physical preparation. Physical preparation. And this is made abundantly clear in this passage of Scripture. On the 6th day, the day before the Sabbath, the people of Israel were to gather twice the amount of manna. And we've read this. They had to gather twice as much. Go out physically and gather twice as much manna. And so the physical work which could be done before the Sabbath was to be done. It was to be got out of the way so it would not be a distraction. It would not be a distraction to them and a hindrance to what they were supposed to be doing on the Sabbath, which was worship. Of course, there was some work which still had to be done on the Sabbath. There were still chores which needed taken care of. And verse 23 brings this before us. See again what it says in verse 23. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye shall bake today, and seethe that which ye shall seethe, and that which remaineth, notice these words, and that which remaineth, overlay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now what God was telling Israel here was, gather twice as much manna on the sixth day. Then bake that which you need for that day, the sixth day. But leave the rest over unto the Sabbath day. And then bake it on the Sabbath day. And that's exactly what it's saying here in verse 23. And so although Israel were not allowed to go out and gather the manna on the Sabbath day, they didn't do the work of gathering. Yet they still did the work of baking, seething the manna on the Sabbath day. And so we see here very clearly that the work that could be done on the day prior to the Sabbath was done, and only the work that was necessary to be done was done on the Sabbath day. And as we read these words, we may easily come to think, what was all this about? This is really kind of petty and trivial, is it not? You can go out, or you cannot go out and gather it, but you can bake it. Is this not all kind of trivial and small? You can cook it, but you can't collect it. Well, as with everything God does and says, there's very good and important reason why God gave these rules. These rules concerning the manna and the Sabbath day to the people of Israel. You see, these rules impressed upon the minds of God's people what a significant and what a solemn thing it was and is to come before God and worship Him. And that's what God was doing here, you see. The Sabbath day was a day of worship. And by giving to these people these rules, He was impressing upon their minds, engraving upon their hearts. To worship God is no small thing. It is no little thing. Therefore, physical preparation for the Sabbath day, the day of worship, was all important. The attitude God was developing amongst His people through these rules about the manna was, there's need to get ready to meet with God. Meeting with God is an awesome thing. It is the most wondrous thing. It is the most glorious thing. And by these rules which related to their physical labors and work, this was engraved upon their minds. As they gathered twice the manna on the sixth day, it was all to impress upon them, tomorrow we meet with God. That's a glorious thing. The most glorious thing that an individual can do. Therefore, physical preparation for the Lord's Day is very important. Very important. This was something many of God's people in past generations understood. They understood it very clearly. On Saturday evening, things would have been got ready in the home. And there was this sense of preparation and this sense of expectation. The Lord's Day is coming. And that's how Saturday evenings were spent in many homes. Preparing for the Lord's Day. Getting things in order. And you know, especially the older folks will remember such things in bygone days. There was this preparation. Getting our clothes ready, our shoes polished. And we look upon these things maybe in a light-hearted manner today. But there was this sense of meeting with God, you see. And this is where it came from. People who remembered the Sabbath day was a significant thing. It was the most special thing. We meet with God. We leave the things of the world behind and we draw near to God. And this physical preparation was all so important. The lack of physical preparation for the Sabbath day today, the Sabbath day in our times really reveals to us, reflects how casually and how carelessly we look upon the worship of our God. And it really does. You fall out of bed on a Sunday morning, and dreary-eyed and half-sleeping, we make our way to the house of God. This ought not to be the case. Think about it. If we were going to meet some earthly dignitary, we were going to meet with the Queen, for example. We would be so organized, have the best clothes out, have our times all organized to make sure that we would not be late. Have everything, we would have it all organized and put right. Think even of how we organize ourselves to go to work. The night before, we get our lunch up. If you take a lunch to work. And we do the things that need to be done so that the next morning there'll be nothing that will really stop us getting on with getting to work. Get all those things out of the way. And yet as we come to the Sabbath day, day for worship, we can be so careless and so lackadaisical of physical preparation. Physical preparation is very important in regard to the Sabbath because it engraves upon our hearts and minds the great and wonderful work that we're involved in, the worship of our God. But then we see here with Israel, there was not only the need for physical preparation, there was a need for spiritual preparation. See the words of verse 22 here in Exodus 16 again. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. Now to understand the spiritual preparation which Israel made for the Sabbath, we must understand the spiritual meaning behind the manna. The spiritual meaning behind the manna. You see, the manna which God gave to Israel contained spiritual significance. Through it, God was not only feeding Israel in a physical sense, but God, through the manna, was also teaching Israel in a spiritual sense. The manna was something by which God taught his people spiritual truths. This was something which Jesus Christ referred to in John's Gospel. Listen to what the Savior said to the Jews in John 6. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Now notice what the Lord Jesus draws here out. He draws this comparison between the manna in the wilderness and himself. And this is what he's doing in John 6. He's speaking to the Jews and he points to this man in the wilderness. And then he says, I am the bread of life. And so what he's saying is, the manna in the wilderness which the children of Israel ate, it all pointed to me. It all speaks of me. In the wilderness, the manna came down from heaven in a miraculous way to provide for the great need of God's people. Without this divine provision, the people of Israel simply would have perished. Well, so it is with Christ. He, like the manna, has come down from heaven in a miraculous fashion. The incarnation of Christ was the most miraculous miracle ever to take place. Christ came down from heaven in a miraculous fashion to provide for the great need of God's people. To provide himself. He has come to provide for them. Why? So they will not perish. So they will not perish. And so the manna. The manna in the wilderness was a great biblical type of the Lord Jesus himself. That is what it pointed to. That is what the manna spoke of. It points us directly to Christ. That's what it's all about. Therefore, keeping this thought in our minds, there is a wonderful truth brought before us here in relation to preparing spiritually for the Sabbath. As verse 29 tells us, in preparation for the Sabbath, the people of Israel gathered twice as much. They gathered twice as much. Two omers for every man, instead of one. We can then say, on the day prior to the Sabbath, there was this double focus. This double focus upon the manna. There was this extra gathering and gleaning in preparation for the Lord's day. This is what happened on the sixth day. There was this extra gleaning, this double gathering, this focus upon the manna. Now keep in mind, the manna points us to Christ. It is a great picture and type of the Lord Jesus. What we're then taught here is this. The all-important and crucial spiritual preparation that is needed for the Sabbath is to take extra time with Christ. To spend more of our time seeking after him. This is the great spiritual preparation which is vital in regard to the Lord's day. Take an extra time to glean in His Word. Take an extra time to seek His face. Take an extra time to feed our souls. Preparation for the Sabbath. This is the spiritual preparation. This is what we should be doing on a Saturday night. This is what we should be doing on a Lord's Day morning before coming to the house of God. Turning to God's Word. And seeking to encourage ourselves with truth and seeking God's grace. Say, Lord, I want to meet with You today. I want You to speak to me today. I want to be blessed with my soul today. This is the spiritual preparation that is so crucial and so needful. Just imagine the people of Israel had not spent this time, this extra time gleaning prior to the Sabbath. Imagine they hadn't gathered twice the manna on the sixth day. Perhaps they were too busy doing other things. Too busy doing family things. Too busy doing work things. Other commitments. And they just didn't have the time to go out and gather twice the manna on the Saturday. Or on the sixth day rather. They didn't have the time for that. Do you know what had happened? We all know what had happened. Their Sabbath day would have been a most miserable day. It wouldn't have been a day of satisfaction. It would have been a day of starvation. They would have been miserable on the Sabbath day if they hadn't gathered twice as much the day before. This is why I believe many of God's people today do not enjoy the Sabbath God gives them as they should. They do not delight in them, for there is not the spiritual preparation that is needed. Not the spiritual preparation that is needed. There's not the seeking after Christ. There's not the preparing the soul to worship Him. There's not the steeping the mind in truth. So therefore, they come to God's house, they meet with God's people, and there's a great sense of dissatisfaction. Maybe this is you today. Maybe as I've been preaching, you've been thinking, well, you know, I do physical preparation. Yes, I organize my Saturday nights and I organize my Lord's Day mornings and I make sure everything is right and I come to God's house in my Sunday best, and that is very good. As I've said, physical preparation is important. But it is the spiritual preparation that is all important. Oh, if our Sabbaths are going to be a delight to our hearts, there needs to be that double gleaning, so to speak, of Christ. This waiting with Him and looking to Him. Warming our hearts through Him. That as we meet together in His name as His people, that our souls will be thrilled. The truth is, preparation for the Lord's Day is vitally important. Physical preparation, but especially spiritual preparation. It is vitally important. If this day is going to be a blessing to us, maybe the Sabbath hasn't been a blessing to you. Maybe as you sit in God's house today, you're saying, well, you know, the Lord's Day is not really a blessing. I don't delight in it. I don't even know what you're talking about when you talk about the joy of the Sabbath. Well, listen, prepare your heart. Put yourself to this test. Make this preparation that we're taught of in Scripture. And the Sabbath will be a delight to your heart. And so we see here the preparation for the Sabbath. Moving on quickly. The second thing I want us to note today is the prohibitions of the Sabbath. Notice again the words of verse 10 in Exodus 20. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. It's made very clear here that God forbids certain activities. God forbids certain things to be carried out on His day. The Sabbath day is a special day. It is a holy day. Therefore, this day is not to be defiled with worldly activities. The great Puritan Thomas Watson said, when Abraham went to sacrifice, he left his servants and ass at the bottom of the hill. So when we are to worship God in this day, we must leave our worldly business behind. Leave the ass at the bottom of the hill. course, the question has often been asked, what things are permissible on the Lord's day and what things should not be done on the Sabbath? This is frequently how people talk when the subject of keeping the Sabbath day comes up. People talk about, well, what can be done and what can't be done? Is it okay to do this or is it not okay to do that? Just a number of months ago, I was preaching in another church and I was staying over for lunch in a couple's house. And the subject of the Lord's Day came up. Very quickly, the conversation turned to what is forbidden on the Sabbath. They were asking me, did I think, was it okay to do this or to do that? And these were genuine Christian people. They weren't seeking to find out, is it okay to do something to see how close they could live to sin? No, they were thinking upon these things. These are things that they had considered and thought upon. And they wanted to know what I thought upon these things. Well, as with all truth, as we've already noted, we must search the Scriptures. The only way we can know what is prohibited on the Sabbath day is by the light of God's Word. There are many passages and verses of Scripture I could turn to as we think of what we should not do on the Lord's day. But there's one verse of Scripture that really throws light on this subject. It brings it really into full view, I would say. And that is Isaiah 58 and the verse 13. Turn with me to Isaiah just for a moment. Isaiah chapter 58 and the verse 13. Notice what it says here. Isaiah 58 verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honourable, and shalt honour him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, not speaking thine own words. Now this verse of Scripture clearly brings before us the subject of the Sabbath day. That is very clear. It speaks about the Sabbath being a delight. But notice, in the last part of this verse, it tells us what is prohibited or forbidden on the Sabbath. Not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Those that delight in the Sabbath do not do these things. And this is what Isaiah is saying. Those that delight in the Sabbath do not do these things. We can say three things are brought to our attention here. First of all, this verse speaks of labor. It speaks of labor. Not doing thine own ways. Speaks of how on the Sabbath day we are not to continue on with the normal things of life. We are not to engage in the work which fills out the rest of our days. And that's the thought here. Not doing thine own ways is not continuing to walk in the ways that you normally walk in. Not continue to work in labor as in other days. And of course, the fourth commandment very clearly brings this before us. Thou shalt not do any work. And then it speaks of how those in your household should not do any work. We are not to engage in our ordinary work on the Sabbath day, except for the works of necessity and mercy. All other work, all other labor must cease. Only the works of necessity and mercy. And again, the very fact that God permits the works of necessity and mercy teaches us that this day is not a day of cruelty. It's a day of kindness. And so therefore, the works that must be done, the works that has to be done for the good of mankind, for our well-being, they should be done because this day is a day of kindness, not a day of cruelty. But all other works, all other labor must cease. And so it teaches us here about labor. Then it also brings before us leisure. Notice the words, not finding thine own pleasure. Not finding thine own pleasure. In other words, the Lord's day is not a day for the enjoyment of legitimate worldly leisure. It's not a day for the enjoyment of legitimate. And I use the word legitimate. Worldly leisure. Sadly, this is what it has become. The Sabbath day has become a day for sport. A day for leisure activities. And it's often been referred to even by some professing Christians, as a family day. And that might seem very good in one sense, but it isn't a family day. It's the Lord's day. And when we use it in this way, for our leisures and for our activities, we profane the Sabbath. Not finding thine own pleasure means this day is not a day for sport, entertainment, or other family or leisure activities. It is to be used for a far higher purpose. And that's the point. Forbidding these things is not because they are wrong. These things are forbidden because on this day we do something far more grander, far more glorious. This is the whole point of it. Leisure activities, our leisure activities, our family activities, in comparison to the worship of our God, while they're so miserly and lowly and worthless. This is why these things are to be set aside. Not because they're wrong in themselves, but they're wrong because they're taking the place that God ought to have in our hearts and in our lives. And so we see here labor, leisure. And then you will notice at the very end of this verse, it speaks about language. See the last part of verse 13. Not speaking thine own words. Not speaking thine own words. Of course, this does not speak about not using words in the Sabbath. That would be ludicrous. We are to use words. We are to speak. This is how we worship, of course. It's very much an element of worship. Instead, these words refer to the type and nature of conversation that should fill our Sabbath day, our Sabbath days. It should not be the things of this world that fill our conversations on the Sabbath, but it should be the things of God. And this is what God was teaching his people. My Sabbath days, the holy days that I've given you for worship, should not be filled with worldly conversation, worldly business, worldly negotiations, worldly talk, worldly sport. They shouldn't be. These things should not fill our conversation. And of course, this involves thinking. We have to tune our minds here. What we're going to think upon. What we're going to consider. It's involved in thinking here. And this is really what it means. We're not using our own words. Speaking about the things of this world. We're not to speak about these things, but we're to speak about the things of God. Speak about the word that was preached. Speak to your children, your grandchildren, to each other about these things. These are the things of God. These things ought to fill our Sabbaths. The words that God has spoken to us. We engage in worldly labor, worldly leisure, and worldly language on the Lord's day. We defile the Sabbath. That's what we do. We profane the Lord's day. You might say, this is a very high standard to meet. A very high standard to meet. You're talking here about not doing any labor. Well, that's not too bad. I don't mind getting a day off in the week. But leisure, well, that's more difficult because there's things that I'm interested in. And then when it comes to language, well, that's almost impossible for me. And so we say this is a very high standard to meet. But you know what the answer is? It is. Oh, it is a high standard. But that's no surprise. For our God is a very holy God. Therefore, we should fully expect that his day is a very holy day. This indeed is what we ought to expect. Surely it would have to be a holy day if it's the Lord's day, for he is holy. That is why we need to remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is our duty. Remember what I was saying at the start. We're thinking about the duty of the Sabbath. This is our duty. This is our responsibility, particularly as God's people, to remember this day and keep it holy. I pray that God will give us grace and help even to do so. And may our Sabbaths be days of delight and days of rejoicing in our Saviour. Trust God will bless His truth to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen.